Want to see Margaret and Leroy, huh? Yeah? Some people, they take a straight path, and other people like to detour a little bit. That's hilarious. Ha, 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 ha. That's what Paul says, you know. The Macedonians are hilarious givers. They are begging for the privilege and the joy of being able to share what God has first given them. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Let everyone who seeks the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. He recalls his promises and leads his people forth in joy with shouts of thanksgiving. Alleluia, alleluia. Thank the Lord. You see, we can, and we do, try to teach good manners about say please, or what do you say, thank you. We try to teach children that, and adults as well, right? And it's appropriate and good that we send thank you notes, and we offer our gratitude. But what the scriptures will teach us as we celebrate this secular holiday in a holy setting, that all thanks appropriately goes to God. I thank God for Bob Porish, who told me about a congregation that he served down in St. Asgard and all the years of faithful service that you and Jan put into that ministry down there. You see, I'm thankful to God for Bob and Jan. I'm thankful to God for Leroy and Margaret, that God gave them the ability and the desire to want to construct for our congregation our own Advent wreath. I'm thankful that Don, right? Thankful to God that God gave Don the desire to come and to take care of this. We can say our thanks to each other, and those are good manners. But the source of all thanksgiving and the recipient of all thanksgiving must be God. Remember, say thanks. Citibank wants to say thanks to their customers, to their loyal members that use the Citibank card and that are getting reward perks for using it. And so they came up with a couple of television commercials. Maybe you've seen them. One of them has two women who are in a grocery store. And the one woman comes over to the other one and puts her hand on the stomach and says, "When are you due?" And the woman says, "I'm not expecting." Ooh. How do you handle those embarrassing moments when you have offended someone? The woman immediately doesn't know what to say, and so she looks at the woman that she's put her hand on her stomach and says, "Thank you." And then immediately, the one that's been offended isn't disgruntled anymore, and the two women embrace on the commercial, and the caption says, "Isn't it amazing what a thank you can do?" Thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God. Thank the Lord and sing His praise, not a pat on our personal back. Tell everyone what he has done. Don't tell some, tell all. God is the source of every good gift. I thank God that Jesus Christ is present in your life. I thank God that you have received every spiritual gift so that you're not lacking in anything. I thank God that you've been baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and that you've received the forgiveness of sins. I thank God. Thank the Lord and sing his praise. He recalls his promises. You see, God doesn't forget. We might forget. I just finished reading book number 6, but it's the prequel of C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia called The Magician's Nephew, with one of our kids in our congregation and some of their friends. The end of chapter 13, after we find out how Aslan has with a song created Narnia, and how sin and the fall has happened through Diggory bringing Jadis, the White Witch, into this new creation. And now, Diggory confesses his sin, and Aslan uses the one that has brought sin to help bring about a temporary cure, if you will. He is sent on a flying horse, Fledge, to a remote area where there's a garden so that he can get an apple from a silver apple tree. And Jadis has climbed over the wall and has already eaten one of those apples, and it's drooling down her mouth. And she tempts young Diggory and says, you know, your mother is ill. She's about to die. If you were to take one of these apples, you could use your magic ring, you could go back to London, you could save her. And it's at that moment that Diggory remembers the shining tears in Aslan's face. For he knew that his mother was loved more by Aslan than what he himself as her son loved her. And whenever he was tempted, he remembered those shining tears in Aslan's face. He remembered. He took the apple back to Narnia and to Aslan, and he was given the privilege of throwing it, planting it, and it immediately grew into a tree. It wouldn't be a permanent solution, but it would be a temporary cure. It would provide protection to the people and creatures of Narnia. Until one day, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, one day when God would take care of redemption himself, the deeper magic, when an innocent one dies in the place of a traitor, then death is broken and time goes backwards. Diggory is given permission by Aslan to take one of these new silver apples. Now that you have permission, and because you've obeyed, you can take this back. Your mother won't live endlessly, but she will receive a cure. All get what they seek, but not all like it. You see, if you had disobeyed and had fallen to the temptation of Jadis and had consumed by theft one of those apples and taken it back to your mother, it would have been immortality, but it would have been eternal sadness and separation from God. After Diggory plucks one of those silver apples, he says, can we go home now? And the chapter ends with these words, and he forgot to say thank you. But Aslan knew he intended to, and he understood. The mercy and grace of Almighty God, even when we are thankless, even when we forget to remember to say thank you, a merciful God that is always giving generously, hilariously, the offering of his only son, Jesus. Our gospel reading for tonight is the story of Jesus on a journey on the way to Jerusalem to die for the sins of God's people. And in this kind of space called between Samaria and Galilee, which doesn't geographically exist, in this space that he's passing through, 10 lepers who have found community as outcasts, cry out as the law prescribes, unclean, unclean, unclean. They keep their distance and they ask for mercy. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. And Scripture tells us that Jesus sees them. And Jesus sends them, apparently, assumingly, with a promise, because he sends them to the priest to show themselves, and you only did that if you were unclean, if you were made clean. And they all go. And on the way, all 10 are cured. But one, when he sees, turns back, throws himself at the feet of Jesus, giving thanks to God, recognizing that Jesus, God incarnate, is the source of his cure. All 10 are cured, but only one is saved. Go on your way, Jesus says to the Samaritan. Your faith has saved you. Wouldn't it be a shame, I've told people, if they came to Destination Medical Center, to Rochester, to Mayo Clinic, and all they got was another 10 or 25 years of life here on earth? Don't we want them to have more? Eternal, everlasting salvation in the name of Jesus? Not just to be cured, but to be healed, which is the word for salvation. Go on your way. Your faith, your God-given faith, for which we thank God, has saved you. This past week, I read one story and heard a second. The first one was on the internet about a young athlete named Eric Berry. He was the fifth person chosen in the 2010 NFL draft. A fabulous safety for the Kansas City Chiefs. He played a week ago almost on a Thursday night against the Oakland Raiders, and as the game ended, he had a terrible chest pain. And since that time, they've done MRIs and x-rays, and they found this huge mass, which now they are pretty sure is lymphoma. And the only thing they know is that for sure, this young man's life in football for this year is over, and maybe permanently. Maybe his days are numbered, as are all of our days. He gave this press release. Eric Berick said, "I'm thanking God for all of you, for your prayers, your love, and your support. I am in God's hands, and because of that, I am at peace. I'm going to win this." A cure, or your faith has saved you? That's the real victory that overcomes the world, our faith, God-given, in Jesus Christ. And the second story was when I was here running off the bulletins for tonight, and one of the members of Oasis came in, and I suppose just out of habit, I said, "Have a happy Thanksgiving. Are you going somewhere, being with family? Is family coming here?" And his brief comment was, "Not this year." And then he proceeded to tell me that his stepmother was in hospice, diagnosed a little over a year ago with cancer. And he said, "We're just waiting now for the phone call. They said it's just a matter of hours." 14 years ago, he said, "My mother died instantly of a massive heart attack." And we talked about sudden death or lingering death. Can we be thankful and say thanks in all circumstances, as St. Paul prescribes, or only when the weather is nice and when everything falls in place and when we don't have any heartaches or hassles? Can we thank God in all circumstances? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of your Heavenly Father. There is a woman, a widow, elderly, who went to the harvest festival in her country in India. And the itinerant pastor noticed that she had this large bowl of rice as her offering. And he went up knowing not a lot about her, but knowing that she was poor and didn't have a lot. And he said to her, "I see that you've got a large offering. Is this a thank offering to God for a particular blessing?" And the old woman said, "Yes, it is. My son has been terribly ill and sick, and I promised that I would bring God an offering if he was made well." "Oh, so your son recovered?" And the woman said, "No, he died a week ago. But he's with Jesus. He's with Jesus forever. And for that, I'm eternally thankful." God is the giver, God is the source, God is the recipient of all thanks. Remember, say thanks. It was in our first reading for tonight that we hear the final sermon of Moses to the people of Israel. And you may recall that they've been wandering for 40 years and that none of the original people that were in the Exodus crowd, none of them get to enter the promised land except for Caleb and Joshua. All the rest perish in the 40 years of wandering. And now a new generation has grown up that might not remember, that might forget. They need to remember. Moses says, don't forget the 10 plagues. Don't forget the deliverance. Don't forget how your ancestors passed through the Sea of Reeds and Pharaoh's army was destroyed. Don't forget how God provided manna for 40 years and how God provided quail and how the water came out of the rock. Don't forget to remember, because the temptation is always there, Moses says, that you're going to get into the promised land, which is unbelievable, hilarious, because God is a cheerful giver. And all of a sudden you start to say to yourself, you know, I've really done well. You know, I've really worked hard. You know, I've accomplished a lot. Look at all that I've done. Thanks be to me. And Moses says, and you forget that everything is a gift. Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Let all who seek the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. He doesn't forget. He recalls his promises and leads his people in joy with shouts of thanksgiving. Alleluia. Alleluia. Blessed Thanksgiving to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able, and our song of the day is on your blue insert in your bulletin.